First century, paragraphs 51 through 60. Number 51. Wants are the bands and cements between God and us. Had we not wanted, we could never have been obliged. Whereas now we are infinitely obliged because we want infinitely. From eternity it was requisite that we should want. We could never else have enjoyed anything. Our own wants are treasures. And if want be a treasure, sure everything is so. Wants are the ligatures between God and us, the sinews that convey senses from him to us, whereby we live in him and feel his enjoyments. For had we not been obliged by having our wants satisfied, we should not have been created to love him. And had we not been created to love him, we could never have enjoyed his eternal blessedness. Number 52. Love has a marvelous property of feeling in another. It can enjoy in another as well as enjoy him. Love is an infinite treasure to its object, and its object is so to it. God is love, and you are his object. You are created to be his love, and he is yours. He is happy in you when you are happy, as parents in their children. He is afflicted in all your afflictions, and whosoever toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Will not you be happy in all his enjoyments? He feeleth in you, will not you feel in him? He hath obliged you to love him, and if you love him, you must of necessity be heir of the world, for you are happy in him. All his praises are your joys, all his enjoyments are your treasures, all his pleasures are your enjoyments. In God you are crowned, in God you are concerned. In him you feel, in him you live and move and have your being. In him you are blessed. Whatsoever therefore serveth him, serveth you, and in him you inherit all things. Number 53. Oh, the nobility of divine friendship! Are not all his treasures yours and yours his? Is not your very soul and body his? Is not his life and felicity yours? Is not his desire yours? Is not his will yours? And if his will be yours, the accomplishment of it is yours, and the end of all is your perfection. You are infinitely rich as he is, being pleased in everything as he is. And if his will be yours, yours is his. For you will what he willeth, which is to be truly wise and good and holy. And when you delight in the same reasons that moved him to will, you will know it. He willed the creation, not only that he might appear, but be. Wherein is seated the mystery of the eternal generation of his Son. Do you will it as he did, and you shall be as glorious as he. He willed the happiness of men and angels, not only that he might appear, but be good and wise and glorious. And he willed it with such infinite desire that he is infinitely good in himself, and infinitely blessed in them. Do you will the happiness of men and angels as he did, and you shall be good, and infinitely blessed as he is. All their happiness shall be your happiness, as it is his. He willed the glory of all ages, and the government and welfare of all kingdoms, and the felicity also of the highest cherubims. Do you extend your will like him, and you shall be great as he is, and concerned and happy in all these. He willed the redemption of mankind, and therefore is his Son, Jesus Christ, an infinite treasure. Unless you will it too, he will be no treasure to you. Verily, you ought to will these things so ardently that God himself should be therefore your joy, because he willed them. Your will ought to be united to him in all places of his dominion. Were you not born to have communion with him? And that cannot be without this heavenly union, which, when it is what it ought, is divine and infinite. You are God's joy for willing what he willeth. He loves to see you good and blessed, and will not you love to see him good? Verily, if ever you would enjoy God, you must enjoy his goodness, all his goodness to all his hosts in heaven and earth. And when you do so, you are the universal heir of God and all things. God is yours and the whole world. You are his, and you are all, or in all, and with all. Number 54. He that is in all, and with all, can never be desolate. All the joys and all the treasures, all the counsels and all the perfections, All the angels and all the saints of God are with him. All the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them are continually in his eye. The patriarchs, prophets, and apostles are always before him. The councils and the fathers, the bishops and the doctors minister unto him. All temples are open before him. The melody of all choirs reviveth him. The learning of all universities doth employ him. The riches of all palaces delight him. The joys of Eden ravish him. The revelations of St. John transport him. The creation and the day of judgment please him. The hosannas of the church militant and the hallelujahs of the saints triumphant fill him. The splendor of all coronations entertain him. The joys of heaven surround him, and our Savior's cross, like the center of eternity, is in him. It taketh up his thoughts and exercises all the power of his soul with wonder, admiration, joy, and thanksgiving. The omnipotence of God is his house, and eternity his habitation. Number 55. The contemplation of eternity maketh the soul immortal. Whose glory it is that it can be seen and after its existence into endless spaces. Its sight is its presence, and therefore in the presence of the understanding endless, because its sight is so. Oh, what glorious creatures should we be, could we be present in spirit with all eternity! How wise would we esteem this presence of the understanding to be more real than that of our bodies! When my soul is in Eden, when our first parents, I myself am there in a blessed manner. When I walk with Enoch and see his translation, I am transported with him. The present age is too little to contain it. I can visit Noah in his ark and swim upon the waters of the deluge. I can see Moses with his rod and the children of Israel passing through the sea. I can enter into Aaron's tabernacle and admire the mysteries of the holy place. I can travel over the land of Canaan and see it overflowing with milk and honey. I can visit Solomon in his glory and go into his temple and view the sitting of his servants and admire the magnificence and glory of his kingdom. No creature but one like unto the holy angels can see into all ages. Sure, this power was not given in vain, but for some wonderful purpose, worthy of itself to enjoy and fathom. Would men consider what God hath done, they would be ravished in spirit with the glory of his doings. For heaven and earth are full of the majesty of his glory, and how happy would men be could they see and enjoy it. But above all these, our Savior's cross is the throne of delights, that center of eternity, that tree of life, in the midst of the paradise of God. Number 56. There are we entertained with the wonder of all ages. There we enter into the heart of the universe. There we behold the admiration of angels. There we find the price and elixir of our joys. As on every side of the earth all heavy things tend to the center, so all nations ought on every side to flow in unto it. It is not by going with the feet, but by journeys of the soul that we travel thither. By withdrawing our thoughts from wandering in the streets of this world to the contemplation and serious meditation of his blood sufferings. Where the carcass is thither, will the eagle be gathered together. Our eyes must be toward it, our hearts set upon it, our affections drawn, and of thoughts and minds united to it. When I am lifted up, saith the Son of Man, I will draw all men unto me, as fishes are drawn out of the water, as Jeremy was drawn out of the dungeon, as St. Peter's sheet was drawn up into heaven, so shall we be drawn by that sight from ignorance and sin and earthly vanities, idle sports, companions, feast and pleasures, to the joyful contemplation of that eternal object. But by what cords? The cords of a man and the cords of love. Number 57. As eagles are drawn by the scent of a carcass, as children are drawn together by the sight of a lion, as people flock to a coronation, and as a man is drawn to his beloved object, so ought we. As the sick, drawn by the credit of a physician, as the poor, drawn by the liberality of a king, as the devout, drawn by the fame of the holy, and as the curious, drawn by the noise of a miracle, so ought we. As stones were drawn to the building of Thebes by melody of Amphion, as the hungry are drawn with desire of a feast, and the pitiful drawn to a woe spectacle, so ought we. What visible chains or cords draw these? What invisible links allure? They follow all, or flock together of their own accord, and shall not we much more? Who would not be drawn to the gate of heaven, were it open to receive him? Yet nothing compels him but that which forces the angels, commodity and desire. For those are things which the angels desire to look into, and of men it is written, They shall look on him whom they have pierced. Verily the Israelites did not more clearly see the brazen serpent upon the pole in the wilderness than we may our Savior upon the cross. The serpent was seen with their eyes. The slayer of the serpent is seen with our souls. They had less need to see the one than we to see the other. Number 58. The cross is the abyss of wonders, the center of desires, the school of virtues, the house of wisdom, the throne of love, the theater of joys, and the place of sorrows. It is the root of happiness and the gate of heaven. Number 59. Of all the things in heaven on earth, it is the more peculiar. It is the most exalted of all objects. It is an ensign lifted up for all nations. To it shall the Gentile seek. His rest shall be glorious. The dispersed of Judah shall be gathered together to it from the four corners of the earth. If love be the weight of the soul, and its object the center, all eyes and hearts may convert and turn unto this object, cleave unto this center, and by it enter into rest. There we might see all nations assembled with their eyes and hearts upon it. There we may see God's goodness, wisdom, and power, yea, his mercy and anger displayed. There we may see man's sin and infinite value, his hope and fear, his misery and happiness. There we might see the rock of ages and the joys of heaven. There we may see a man loving all the world and a God dying for mankind. There we may see all types and ceremonies, figures and prophecies, and all kingdoms adoring a malefactor, an innocent malefactor, yet the greatest in the world. There we may see the most distant things in eternity united, all mysteries at once couched together and explained. The only reason why this glorious object is so publicly admired by churches and kingdoms, and so little thought of by particular men, is because it is truly the most glorious. It is the rock of comforts and the fountain of joys. It is the only supreme and sovereign spectacle in all worlds. It is a well of life beneath in which we may see the face of heaven above, and the only mirror wherein all things appear in their proper colors, that is, sprinkled in the blood of our Lord and Savior. Number 60. The cross of Christ is the Jacob's ladder by which we ascend into the highest heavens. There we see joyful patriarchs, expecting saints, prophets ministering, apostles publishing, and doctors teaching, all nations concentring, and angels praising. That cross is a tree set on fire with invisible flame that illumineth all the world. The flame is love, the love in his bosom who died on it, in the light of which we see how to possess all the things in heaven and earth after his similitude. For he that suffered on it was the Son of God as you are, though he seemed only a mortal man. He had acquaintance and relations as you have, but he was a lover of men and angels. Was he not the Son of God, and heir of the whole world? To this poor, bleeding, naked man did all the corn and wine and oil and gold and silver in the world minister in an invisible manner, even as he was exposed, lying and dying upon the cross.